Well, good morning, everybody. You can have a seat today. You made it. I didn't know if I would. I don't do well with the time change. But you did it, and you're here early. It means you're better than the second service people. Don't tell them. Don't tell them. But you are here this morning, and we are glad you are with us. And I have a question for you this morning. Do you, as a person, naturally believe people when they tell you things? Are you naturally more of an optimistic type of person? Or when someone tells you something, is your first instinct to kind of start picking apart the story, thinking of which things they may have embellished a little bit extra when telling you? You know, when someone tells you a story, when someone tells you something has happened or they did something, are you immediately, oh my gosh, that's amazing, I'm so happy for you. Riley is that person. I tend to be on the more pessimistic side of things, so we work really well together, it's good. But we all naturally lean one way or the other. And I want to test you a little bit this morning. So I have these three objects. I was searching this morning for something small enough to fit in my pocket. So we have communion cups this morning. I am going to juggle these for you this morning. I know, a great way to start church in the morning. But who here, right off the bat, believes that I can juggle these? Nice, okay. Not very many people, that's okay. Now you can be honest. Who here thinks I probably can't juggle these? Nice, okay. This is good, you're proving my point this morning, okay? So I'm gonna juggle these. And they're probably gonna end up on the floor. But let's see how this goes. Ready? Yeah, I can't juggle. I have tried many, many times to juggle. I really wish I could juggle. I think it would be a cool party trick. And I don't really have any other party tricks. So maybe I'll keep practicing. But for those of you who did believe in me, the very few of you, thank you. I appreciate it. And for those of you who doubted me, I understand. I also doubted myself. But this morning, we are continuing our Easter series called Overcome that we started last week. And through this series, we're going to look at what it means to be overcomers. Romans 8, 35 to 37 says, "Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." Overwhelming victory is ours. Revelation 12, 11 says, "And they have defeated him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony." By the blood of Jesus, we have overwhelming victory. The phrase that Pastor Jared kept having us repeat last week was, "Jesus overcame so we can overcome." Now, this is not to say that life here on earth is going to be perfect and nothing bad will happen, that we don't have to overcome anything anymore. Yes, we have overwhelming victory in Jesus, but we still currently live in a world where the enemy is at work and is working hard to have us walk away from Jesus. Now we know, as followers of Jesus, that the enemy does not win in the end. That when Jesus returns, all will be made new. But for now, we live in a world with sin and struggles and pain, and we see that we can either be overcome by our circumstances, or we can overcome them. So this morning, we are talking about overcoming doubt. And as we saw a couple moments ago with my juggling, a lot of us naturally doubt as our first instinct. We all struggle with doubt. We struggle with questioning. We struggle when we don't have the answers to the questions that we believe that we need. And if you think right now, I'm sure you can begin to think and list all of the times that you have doubted in your life. Maybe you've doubted a friend or a parent, a professor, an outcome, or a situation. Doubt is something that every single person has struggled with or will struggle with in life. Now, who here has been bungee jumping? One person, awesome. Who here thinks that given the opportunity, they would go bungee jumping? Okay, a couple more. I would not ever, freaks me out, but I have been with a friend when they went bungee jumping and I watched them do it. So I kind of have an idea. But when you go bungee jumping, you watch all of the people go before you, unless you're the first person there. But usually you're standing, you're waiting, you're watching people take their turns jumping from very high heights. And you see that they're fine. You see that they make it out alive. You understand that it's safe. You know that all of the possible precautions have been taken to keep you safe. But when you are standing there on the edge, there is something in you that doubts all that you know. There is something in you that goes, but what if this is the time that the bungee cord breaks? There is something in us that doubts, even if just for a moment, and even if we have seen it be done before. As Christians, we are not immune to doubt. We are not immune to questions, especially when it comes to our faith. Maybe you're sitting here today and you have struggled with doubt when it comes to your faith. Maybe you have questions that have never been answered. Maybe you have doubted what you know to be true about Jesus, but you dare not say anything to anyone because you feel shame for having those doubts. I want you to know today that you are not alone, that most, if not all of us, have experienced the same thing. Now, there's a statistic that might be very shocking to a lot of you today, but it states that nearly 60% of people raised in Christian churches deconstruct their faith following high school. Nearly 60%. That is a lot of people. And through my own experiences, I think that a lot of that stems from a place of feeling like we aren't allowed to have doubts. That we are not allowed to question or struggle with what it is that we were brought up believing. I think some of us who have grown up in church maybe have been told or feel as though doubting or having struggles with questions is a sin or an abandonment of your faith. We haven't always felt that we were allowed to experience doubt. That if we did experience doubt or question some of the things that we believed, that we had lost our faith in Jesus. And this can be so damaging to our walk with Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you've expressed to someone that you'd been struggling with doubt at some points throughout your life and you were told that it was a sin. Or you were made to feel shame for struggling with some of those things. And I am so sorry. To say that struggling with doubts and questions about faith and about God are sinful is very contradictory to what we see in Scripture. Today we're going to see that doubt is a very real part of our journey of faith. We're going to see many examples in Scripture of people who have walked through doubt and the outcome of it in their lives. Doubt does not immediately mean that we have lost our faith or abandoned it. Eugene Peterson says, "Praising God does not inoculate us from doubts about God." We are not immune as followers of Jesus to the struggle with doubt. Now, make no mistake, doubt is a very real thing, and it is something that can overcome us if we do not learn how to move through our doubt. We can have doubts, but we cannot stay in our doubts. We have to move through them. Pete Scazzaro is the author of Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. In it, he talks about a place that we will all come to, often many times throughout our lives, called the wall. He talks about how, as Christians, we will face things in our lives that feel like we can't get through them. Something that feels like it stopped us in our tracks, that we cannot move forward. Oftentimes, it's a crisis of faith. Sometimes it's brought on by outside factors like being laid off from a job, a medical diagnosis, or grief and loss. Other times, it is strictly a spiritual issue that we're walking through. We question and we doubt, and oftentimes it can feel as though God is no longer with us. Pete says that we need to go through the wall in order to mature in our faith, in order to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus. And oftentimes it can be painful, it can be a long process, it can be uncomfortable. And he also explains what happens if we try to go around the wall, if we try to find a different path to get to where we want to be. But what happens is we will always come back to the wall. Unless we take time and energy to make our way through the wall, to make our way through the doubt, we will always come back to it. It will always prevent us from moving forward. We have to be allowed to question and doubt. So the question then is, how do we faithfully walk through doubt and come out on the other side with a deeper, richer, more loving relationship with Jesus? We see lots of examples in Scripture of people who have experienced doubt in their walk with God. In the Old Testament, we see the story of Moses. God calls Moses to speak on behalf of God, to free the Israelites from captivity in Egypt. And we see in almost every conversation that Moses has with God about this, Moses is questioning God. Moses doubts God's call on his life multiple times. He comes up with every excuse in the book as to why God is wrong in calling him. Moses doubts that God could or would actually use him in helping free the Israelites. He doubts that God will come through on his promises. Now, once the Israelites are freed from Egypt, they travel through the wilderness, and we see God's people time and time again doubting God, doubting that he cares for them, doubting that he will provide for them, doubting that they will actually be allowed into the land that God has promised them. We have the story of Abraham and Sarah. Abraham was 100 years old when God tells him that his wife is going to have a son after not being able to conceive her whole life. His wife Sarah is 90 years old when God tells Abraham she'll have a child. Abraham and Sarah are considered heroes of our faith. But what are their responses to what God tells them? They laugh. They laugh because they doubt that God could make it happen. Because in their humanness, they knew that it really wasn't possible. They doubted that what God was promising them was true. Throughout the Psalms, we see the authors going through horrible circumstances in life. They experience loss and grief and pain, sickness, depression, and at times they are running for their lives, and we see them crying out to God, questioning him again and again. In the New Testament, we see the story of Thomas, and he is often referred to as Doubting Thomas, which is a terrible way to be remembered. But Thomas was one of Jesus' disciples. He followed Jesus for his whole ministry. He was there through everything, every miracle, every teaching, the Last Supper, Jesus' crucifixion. Thomas hears of Jesus' resurrection, that he's alive again, that what he said would happen has happened, and he doubts it. He says, I will only believe it if I can touch the wounds in his hands. We have the story of Peter walking on the water towards Jesus in the storm. The wind is blowing, the waves are raging, the disciples are scared, and they see Jesus walking towards them on the water. Peter has faith enough to get out of the boat, and he starts to walk on the water, but very quickly he begins to doubt, and he begins to sink. We have story after story of people in the Bible, heroes of the faith, doubting their faith, doubting what they know to be true, doubting the promises of God. And if they were not immune to the struggle of doubt, then why do we believe that we should be? This morning, I want to spend some time in the book of Mark. We're going to be looking at the story of one of Jesus' miracles. In Mark chapter 9, starting in verse 14, Jesus and three of his disciples are making their way back down from the mountain where they have just seen Elijah and Moses appear with Jesus, where they heard the voice of God call Jesus his son. And this experience is called the Transfiguration, and they are coming back down to the town to meet up with the rest of the disciples. And as they're coming back, a crowd is gathering. The religious leaders are arguing with the disciples. And here we get to verse 16. What is all this arguing about? Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed by an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they couldn't do it. Jesus said to them, You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought the boy. But when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit often throws him into the fire or water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak, he said. I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. So what is happening here? The disciples have tried to cast a demon out of this boy and they have no success with it. Jesus comes and he's asking what's happening, and this father begins to explain his situation. And he asks Jesus if he can save his son. Jesus responds with this question, followed by an answer. He says, What do you mean, if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes. And the father's response is so good. He says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. We can learn a lot about how to walk through doubt from this interaction between the Father and Jesus. So the first thing that we see is we need to honor doubt. We need to recognize and accept that doubt is okay, that doubt happens, that if we find ourselves walking through doubt, it does not mean that we have walked away from our faith or rejected Jesus. Doubt is not the same as not believing. Pastor A.J. Swoboda says, the struggle with one's faith is often the surest sign we actually have one. The father's response to Jesus in this passage is that he does believe that Jesus can free his son, and he has some doubts. in our walk with Jesus, it's okay to ask the questions. In fact, it's good to ask the questions because an unquestioned faith is often a shallow faith. The only way to go deeper is to question it. It's okay to doubt. We just can't stay in our doubt. When we honor doubt, we allow room to discover why or what it is that we are doubting, and we can begin to grow in our faith and our understanding in that area, causing us to mature in our faith. At some point, each of us has to question what it is that we believe. For some who grew up in the church, this can be referred to as making your faith your own. For others, it can be considered deconstruction, and I know that's a scary word, but deconstruction that leads to a reconstruction of something deeper and greater is always possible with Jesus. Ultimately, this is a part of spiritual formation or spiritual maturing. When we're little, it's our parents' job to teach us how to interact with other humans, right? You know, they teach us to eat, they teach us how to walk, how to talk, how to interact with others. They teach us don't hit other kids. And that's great. That's an important lesson that everybody should learn. But it wouldn't be all that helpful if that was the extent to which I understood how to treat people. As you grow up and as you begin to mature, you realize that just not hitting others isn't enough. The instruction of don't hit others, we realize, is based in a much deeper understanding of that we treat others with kindness and respect. Maturing was understanding that there was more to the simple truth that we were handed as children. And the same is true of our faith. If I hadn't had moments throughout my life where I was allowed to question and doubt what it was that my parents had taught me, I wouldn't be standing here today. If I had just taken it and accepted it and never did anything with it, then do I actually believe it? Am I willing to stake all that I have on it? If I had never questioned or doubted what I was taught, and I had decided to still believe in God and not walk away like we learned 60% of people do, my faith would be so shallow that anything would have the potential to dry it up. The process of questioning or deconstructing what we were handed when we first came to Jesus can lead us into a deeper understanding of the grace that is given to us. It causes us to buy in, to believe deeper, and to truly trust what we know to be true. It changes the way that we come to Jesus and live our lives. The second thing is we need to seek wisdom. A lot of times when people are questioning or doubting things in their faith, they can feel a lot of shame in what they're struggling with. And this is true of anything that we struggle with. When it comes to doubting or questioning, maybe you feel like you can't ask your questions in church. Maybe you feel like you can't ask questions in your life group. Maybe it's for fear of what others may think of you. Maybe it's due to past experiences. Or maybe you're just not sure how to go about it. But often, the church has made people feel guilty or shameful when they have brought questions or doubts to the table. So many people feel that their only option is to go outside of the church for answers. And I hate that this is what has happened because we see in Scripture that Jesus welcomed the questions. We see the disciples ask questions. We see religious leaders ask questions. We see people like the father in the story that we just read bring his doubts to Jesus. The problem is when we don't allow space for people to seek wisdom when it comes to their doubts or their questions, they will take those doubts to the world looking for answers. And I don't know if you've noticed, but the world is very good at convincing us that we don't need Jesus. when it comes to doubting and seeking answers, if your hope in the process is to completely dismantle all that you have believed and leave it there, you will. But if your hope is to overcome your doubt and to come to a place where you long even deeper for the person of Jesus, then you will, because Jesus is faithful. We need to seek wisdom. We see the father in this story say to Jesus, "I believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." The father knew that he needed to seek wisdom from someone who could help him. And he knew that it was Jesus that would be able to help him overcome. We can go to scripture for wisdom. We can see for ourselves the stories of those who have doubted before us, how God met them in their doubt, how they began to make their way through it. If you are in a season of doubt right now, I suggest you read the Psalms. Allow them to speak to you. Allow the wisdom from the Word of God to remind you who God is over and over again. What are some other ways we can seek wisdom? We can go to trusted sources. Like I said earlier, if we go to the world for our answers about God, we can be easily convinced we don't need him. We are who we listen to. Everybody thinks that they are the expert. That's why there are so many podcasts and books, YouTube channels, all dedicated to deconstruction. These people don't know you. These people don't care about you. They're not experts. We need to be careful with who we are seeking wisdom from. Some great places to start are meeting with your pastor, starting conversations with close Christian friends, maybe with your life group, allowing people to hear you out and maybe have something to share with you. Maybe you have a shared experience in doubt that you didn't know about. As you seek wisdom from people, you need to remind yourself that they do not have all of the answers. And if you are the person that somebody is coming to, you do not know all of the answers. And that's good. See, my job as a pastor is not to have all of the right answers. And thank God, that is not my job. It's not my job to be able to give you faith. My job as a pastor is to walk with you through your doubt and to continue to point you to Jesus, to point you towards scripture, to point you towards things that you know to be true, to remind you of God's faithfulness, to point you towards hope. We need to remind ourselves of the truths about who God is, and when we can't do it for ourselves, we need people around us who can remind us of God's faithfulness. We need to seek wisdom. The third thing is we need to pursue the person of Jesus. Approaching doubt with Jesus at the forefront of what you are hoping for in the end leads to you walking through your doubt and coming out on the other side with a deeper love for Christ. Approaching it with anything else can leave us sitting in the end in the wake of our own destruction. Above all else, we need Jesus to be the one we come back to. When we don't have an answer, we have Jesus. When we don't know why something is happening, we have Jesus. When we doubt the call on our lives, we have Jesus. And when we doubt the promises of Jesus, we have all of history to look back on his faithfulness, not just in our own lives, but in the lives of all those who have gone before us. If we love and trust the person of Jesus, and if we want to believe that he is who he says he is, then we can trust in the process of walking through doubt. We can trust that even when it feels like the doubt won't end, even when it feels like the answer will never come, when it feels like the season you are in will just last forever, we have Jesus who has gone before us, the one in whom we have overwhelming victory over doubt. If we are faithful to walking through our doubt, Jesus is faithful to walk with us. We see that God's response to each person who experienced doubt in the Bible is patience. With Moses, God continues to remind him over and over again of his power. He sends Aaron to help Moses. With Abraham and Sarah, God doesn't rebuke them for laughing. His grace is overwhelming because he understands why they would have responded the way that they did. For Peter, walking on the water, when Peter begins to drown because of his doubt, Jesus walks over and picks him up. With Thomas, Jesus is patient again. Thomas said he needed to touch the wounds on Jesus' body for himself. But it wasn't in Thomas's timing. Jesus made him wait a whole extra week before revealing himself to him. But he allowed him to touch the wounds in his hands and on his side. Jesus is patient with us too. And as we walk through doubt, as we overcome doubt, Jesus is patient with us. We will all walk through doubt. We will all come to our place in our lives where we have questions that feel too big to answer. We in our brokenness will doubt the promises of God in our lives. We will walk through the wall, as we talked about earlier. But it is more than possible to walk through doubt and deconstruction and come out on the other side with a deepened longing and love for Christ. In his book, After Doubt, A.J. Swoboda shares a story of a young university student who had recently moved from a Midwestern town in the U.S. to Portland, Oregon to attend university. He shared that they took together, he shared the journey that they took together, there we go, as the student Phil walked through a crisis of faith. He was questioning the church. He was questioning the Bible, doubting the faith that he had grown up in. And as they walked together through Phil's questions over the course of a few years, Phil came out on the other side with a renewed sense of wonder for God. He had discovered, in the words of his pastor, that answers are an inadequate substitute for the presence of an almighty God. So if you find yourself in a place of doubt this morning, if you are walking through question after question, if you feel like your faith is being rocked because you have unanswered things in your life, then you are in good company. Because here's what I love about Jesus. See, it would make sense for us to know that we can overcome doubt because of Jesus's death and resurrection. It makes sense to us, and it's true. But Jesus always takes it a step further. Jesus himself overcame the same things that we struggle with while he walked this earth. Last week, Pastor Jer talked about hardship. We saw that Jesus experienced plenty of hardship, and Jesus experienced doubt. In Matthew 26:39, it says, he went on a little further and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's waiting to be betrayed. He knows that he is going to die a horrible death, and he questions God. He doubts that this is the only way that God's plan might be carried out. But he says, not my will, but yours be done, God. He says, I may not fully understand. I may not want this to be happening. But if it must, then so be it. We see Jesus again shortly after, and this time he's hanging on the cross. Matthew 27:46 says, at about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, which means my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Again, Jesus questions God. We serve a God who understands what it is that we are trying to overcome. And with him, we have overwhelming victory. Jesus knew what it meant to doubt. He felt the pain, the waiting, everything that comes with doubt. He sat before God with questions. We can come to the person of Jesus in our doubt, and he will walk through it with us because he has walked through it before. Jesus, we thank you for the overwhelming victory that we have in you this morning, Jesus. That despite what we are suffering, despite what we are walking through today, despite the doubt and the questions that may feel like they are overcoming us, thank you that you have provided a way to move through the doubt, to move through the questions and the struggles. And thank you that you walk with us through it. Jesus, as we go from this place this morning, would you be so near to us? Would you continue to speak to us, continue to remind us that you are faithful? Thank you that you let us question. Thank you that we can doubt. Thank you that we can overcome our doubt this morning. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen.